Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
Nothing like a little podcast to close out the year when you've been spotty at best the last 3 months.
We've been a little busy. It's all right. Doing our best. It's the energy that we're going to take into the new year.
Into 2023. We're just doing our best, guys. And that's all you can really ask of people.
Like, that's all we've ever done. But we can maybe.
Like, I brought my planner. I'm going to put dates in. We're going to be consistent and focused at least until the second week of January. That's my goal.
I think that's a great goal.
Baby steps.
That's all we got to do.
You know, a wise man, Jordan Peterson, says you can't write down a bunch of goals, like more than five, but then it just becomes a wish list.
Oh, Jordan Peterson.
Listen, before he got off drugs, he was pretty, I felt like pretty sage and wise. And now after, maybe he needs to go back on the benzos. I'm not sure.
Wait, he was wise while he was doing the drugs?
Yeah.
That he was wise before the drugs, and then took the drugs and kind of went.
No, the drugs caused his absence. But anyway, here we are.
I mean, I guess it's not bad advice. I mean,
no,
that's not anything sage or wise. There's a lot to be said. Like, I teach kids to make, like, when creating like rules and expectations in your classroom, you keep it to a small list. Otherwise, it gets lost in the noise. Like, that's a pretty
lost in the sauce.
Pretty that, common, like, less is more. He didn't really invent that, so
no.
I'm refusing to give him any credit whatsoever. Is essentially
what sorry. We're just, I just that's I saw a clip of him talking. Do you think that in 2022, the short form media just took over everything?
TikTok.
Not just TikTok, but Reels, everything that copied TikTok.
I mean, I think Rogan's been talking about this for a really long time. I can go back probably 5 or 6 years and listen to him talk. You know, I mean, his whole podcast is based on the fact of more long-form conversations and things being lost in the soundbite because we've only got so long to like push information out there before people will click off, scroll up.
Well, for me, my take is that it has motivated me to dig further into whatever the content is. For instance, Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I was a hater for a long time. And I'm still not like 100% on board, but I am pushing through. But I start seeing all these, like, the best clips, you know,
mm-hmm.
of a show. And I'm like, man, maybe I need to give it a shot. So I gave it a shot. Immediately the first season, I was like, this sucks. And I realized it's because I've had all these clips and I'm watching an hour of context of a story that, sure, it builds characters and all that, but my brain's like, just give it to me.
And I'm trying to teach kids to read whole ass books.
Yeah, but in 2023, are we really going to need to read books?
Yes, we do. Like, now we've got AI that will write the essays for them. So
I just watched this guy say there was a a Twitter post, mm-hmm. and it was from this influencer,
mm-hmm.
and it was the 10 ways he stays motivated and on task. And he said, I got so much value out of that. And then a week later, he's like, guess what? That was an experiment. That was all written by AI.
Mm.
It's not what I do. That was all like whatever the AI simulator that just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
They got over 1 million users in like 30 days.
Yep.
How do you, is anything authentic now?
Yes. So I think.
How are we going to know the difference between an AI generated? I mean, I guess we have very good examples of this, such as Avatar 2.
Right.
It's fucking all, like, it's not AI, but it's CGI. It's not real people.
Yeah. I mean, remember, like, the conversations not too long ago about, like, deepfakes and stuff like that?
Oh, I love deepfakes.
And how...
how dangerous it is?
Yeah. So, as a teacher who teaches English, especially writing essays... It's going to start. It's the same thing that happened when calculators come out, when Google comes out. Like, it forces you to reconsider. If you are just throwing an essay at kids to throw a freaking essay at kids,
yeah,
for that sense, for that purpose, you're gonna get AI generated essays. And guess what? We played with them on the last week before break.
Mm-hmm.
Suck.
They said, they'll get better.
If you can, is it passable? Yes. But can it totally miss the prompt? Like, if you are actually, like, process writing with your students, project writing with your students, like, you're asking them to do something that they are passionate about and creative about, guess what? They won't do. They won't plagiarize because they want their voice to be heard. But if all you're doing is legitimately saying, okay, and now tell me the theme of The Crucible in a 500-word essay.
I can Google that.
Right, exactly. So
I may have Googled very similar scenarios.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of my learning to write early on, which internet was baby, internet in college, and I was trying to learn how to write academic writing, was me looking up academic writing and trying to imitate form and function and trying to say something. But, it was a lot of them asking me to say stuff about things that I was like, I don't have an opinion on this. But when I wrote my own stuff.
When you had your own opinion.
When I had my own opinion. Yeah. It was my own. They were my own words.
I think that's what's powerful about like what we're doing now is that we're talking about things that we care about, know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that just about anything there's a audience for.
Sure.
I'm not saying we've got a niche audience because there's a billion
parents. I don't even know what our...
We don't know why you guys listen to us.
Corner of the internet is like, I've tried to define that and think about that. And I don't know that we have like one. And I don't know that... I'm ready to like pencil in this is our specific.
Yeah, until we can style. Really monetize that. Until we can like, really take on that.
We've talked about that. Like, what is our focus? You know, I feel really led, God, right now to talk about, and I've got the whole autism, raising an autistic child, but also doing so when you are a public educator brings in a whole new spin. That duality of that life.
Being my fingers. That's all I know about duality. It's a great song.
Being a 40-something-year-old mom, also having a teenager. But everybody has done, like, these are experiences that have all been written about.
Yeah.
That whole mom blog world that took over, you know, like, I don't feel like our podcast is that.
No.
But you're right. Like, there's something for everyone. Like, I'm getting to where now if I need information or ideas, I'll go to Instagram or TikTok to see what content has already been created on it.
Yeah.
And just kind of scroll through and then pick and choose what I need to see. Because I need something visual usually. Or I'm wanting something, like you said, this really quick bite of info.
Yeah. It's so odd. This year I became... pretty invested in supply chain, which is a very boring topic, unless that's your world. And I've made some great friends and great connections and consider a bunch of people mentors in this realm that 10 years ago I was like, trucking? Come on now. But what I found is there's like daily podcasts about the supply chain and different facets and security and logistics and hiring and I'm like, what the hell? So I find myself listening and I understand it. Whereas I wouldn't have understood it if I wasn't involved. So it's very much what you're involved in.
Oh yeah. You have to have a personal connection to things. Like there's nothing in your list of podcasts that you don't have some sort of personal like connection or interest in, right? Yeah. Which I think you kind of can go, like mine is very invested. Like mine is, you could pinpoint me.
So you don't use Spotify, but they give you the top five.
Right.
What you've listened to the most this year. The recap.
Yeah.
What would you say, before I pull up mine, what yours were?
What mine were?
Like your top five most listened to podcasts.
Mine this year would have been Two Bears.
Okay.
Christina P. Probably the Sleep With Me podcast, because I play it so regularly at nighttime. Pantsuit Politics, and then I play that really short Up First, the news.
That's the NPR thing, right?
The 15-minute NPR news thing. I play that pretty regularly, at least weekly, if not every day during the week when I remember. With honorable mention going to what's her name? Back on it. Kate Bowler's podcast. Anyway, Kate Bowler's podcast. I'm so bad with names. And Nani Bilt Weber's podcasts. But that's about it. Like, I didn't really do... kind of got into some John Meacham stuff while I was doing 75 Hard, so it would probably pop. But that was just... that was really late in the summer that I was doing that, listening to historical speeches. Yours is going to be...
so, hold on.
Okay.
Just on Spotify, I spent 6,923 minutes listening to the podcast.
That's a lot of minutes.
It said, I'm like an onion. I have many layers.
Oh, Spotify, if only you knew.
My top five podcasts. Number five, this very podcast, which is weird, but... and number six would probably be my other podcast, if I had to guess. Just because, like, I'll put this out, and then I'll listen to it to see if it sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, and then it makes me laugh sometimes, you know. And I like listening to you. Number four, not to alarm anybody.
Oh, God.
Real Dictators.
Nobody's
shocked. Went through probably seven this year, seven Dictators.
Uh-huh.
That's and they're usually five or six episodes for each one. The last one I did was Robert Mugabe from Zimbabwe.
That's not his name.
It is.
And it rhymes with Zimbabwe? Say it again.
It's Mugabe.
But it rhymes with Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and before he took leadership, the country was not called Zimbabwe.
Oh.
So, number three. The Joe Rogan Experience.
Okay.
Now, I will say this, they're not all for me.
Right.
A bunch I don't care about. If you had to break it down, it's mostly the comedians.
Yeah. I really wanted to listen to him and Steve-O, just because I love Steve-O.
Yeah.
But the first 20 minutes, they were talking about fighters, and I was just like, shit.
Yeah,
get in. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I even watched something remotely related to UFC, so I knew nothing. So I quit listening. I was disappointed. Maybe if I got like further into it.
And the top two.
Okay.
Number two, the Unofficial Universal Orlando Podcast.
I love that about you.
Like, I've even identified, if I was on the podcast, which team, there's four hosts of that, which is weird. And it's not the best audio quality.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it sounds like they will record some on their phone while they're in the park.
Yeah.
but they're from England. So yeah,
we've listened to them before.
Yeah. And number one, Annual Pass. The best, in my opinion, theme park podcast. There's some honorable mentions in there for theme park podcast, but I heard this yesterday and it made sense. A guy said, if you go up to like your favorite celebrity or whoever, like, you're not going to go up to Terry Bradshaw and talk about football because he doesn't care. It bores him because that's his life.
Yeah.
But if you talk to him about fishing, then like he will light up.
Right.
Or if you go to Michael Jordan, you know, or whoever, like every guy's got that one thing that they will talk about. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, mine's theme parks.
That is your thing. I don't think I have a thing.
Oh, I think you could.
Teaching.
Yeah. So.
DIY stuff. I like to talk about it. Don't know what the hell I'm doing.
So, if you powered through the first 15 minutes of this conversation, we got a plan.
No, we don't.
We kind of got a plan.
Don't put that pressure on us. No, we don't.
Don't put that bad juju on me, Ricky Bobby.
We spent 3 minutes
shooting
some ideas. Gary, we got a plan.
We got a plan.
No.
I don't know what the plan.
You don't know what a plan is.
I know. I'm trying to get better.
Goals.
We had a great Christmas. We hope everybody else had a great Christmas. Or Hanukkah. Charlie's convinced that all Jewish people spend Christmas at Chinese restaurants and even back that up with TikToks to prove that it's a thing. So,
Jeez.
If you're Jewish and that is a thing, please let us know.
She only brought that up because she was trying to convince Gary to go get hibachi on Christmas Eve. And we were debating it being open, not because of
the holiday.
The holiday. We've just
road conditions.
There's some really bad road conditions that our part of the world not used to. And lots of people were having like water pipe issues and stuff. And they were shutting down and sending their employees home early because of the holiday and because of the road conditions. But Charlie was like, no, they have to be open.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we did get hibachi.
Earlier in the day.
Yeah. So we had, it was an odd, like we did a week early with our families separately. And so when it came to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, for the most part, it was just us. Like we did Christmas Eve all at home. Harlan, if you go to Abby's Facebook, you'll see he fed the reindeers. He gets really excited about that. He wants them to come immediately to eat.
You know, there was just a general time, and I know if you've got youngins and you're newly married, and maybe this is just a regional.
I think it has to be
issue. You know, when you live so close to family, that you are pulled multiple places.
You're expected to be everywhere,
and when you have multiple generations still alive, and I don't say that like ugly, but. You know, you're going to grandparents and, then you're going to parents' house and everybody's trying to have their holiday traditions and stuff.
That was bourbon opening.
And, we spent so many years just
on the move,
house to house to house. And you come home exhausted, that it was so nice the past few years. I mean, since COVID, we've really been able to just
chill
at home. And I feel guilty for all those years that we would get up and
like leave at noon on Christmas Eve, get home at midnight, spend that morning a couple hours, and then back on the road
just to go, you know. I mean,
I don't think Charlie knew any different. Like she probably had fun everywhere she went.
Right,
those times.
Right. I asked my kids before Christmas break, like, what's one thing that you've seen in Christmas movies that is never a reality for you? But this like concept of long distance traveling somewhere and then staying at someone's house, like you're gonna
like go to your aunt and uncle's for.
But you're staying a week. And you're staying a couple days. You know, that whole. you know, we've never really traveled.
Well, everybody lives close.
Yeah. And so you don't stay long. It's a couple hours. But, you know, the value, I'm just into quality over quantity, I think.
Yeah. And at some point, like, we're middle-aged now.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you know, there's people that have passed that we wish we could spend another Christmas
right.
with. That I don't regret those Christmases, you know,
right, at all.
That we had. But, you know, we work in time to see who we can see mm-hmm. and love it and appreciate that. But we got to do it. We're starting to get to do our own little thing. So yep. That's cool.
It's a balance. I just, to those parents, it's a season. And it, you know, it does change. I don't think I would have seen us ever taking such a slow, easygoing approach.
Let me tell you, it was great.
Yeah. Like the kids getting to enjoy their stuff and hang out, not like just the general emotions. Like if you're getting people ready to go somewhere, and then you've got to like include like, do you have the gifts? Do you have these things? And then you're taking a young,
you're not in the moment,
right? You're taking a young kid out. You're packing everything they may need. I mean, we're like, does he have pajamas? Does he have diapers? Does he have melatonin? Does, you know, like how long are we going to be gone?
Yeah. Will there be cheeses where we're going?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, those are not, that's, it's just a mental labor that really makes it hard to be like, Jesus is the season. Let's all be family and together. Cause you're just so frustrated in, you know, zooming through the morning and then you're trying to get ready and, you know, take a shower cause it's break and you may or may not shower on a regular basis.
And shout out to our parents, you know, because they've understood that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we've had other obligations outside of just, you know, our immediate family.
Yeah.
But like I know for with your mom and dad and then with my mom and dad and now my mom, it's been we've always got to do it in not a rush.
Right.
You know, we've got to experience that. So
yeah, your mom has always been great about like a week before and doing that and getting to hang.
Because all our schedules are so
like,
well, back in the day, probably a good chance either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day I was working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, I, you know, there's this distinct, it pops up, you know, in my timeline, the morning, I think it's the kitchen, the year that we got Charlie, the kitchen, you were at work that day.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, woke up and played with her, but had to get her ready, get her mm-hmm. to, I think even the year before that, when she was first born, which we didn't get her presents. We're like, do we do this? She doesn't even know there's a Santa.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll go get her some blocks. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of people who are still working.
Yeah. Those days. Shout out to those.
We've done those holidays. And
with Charlie, if you followed along, we usually try to get her, not stuff, but like an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, I got to go take her. You've usually been the one to take her to these things, but this mm-hmm. year was me. We went and saw the sensation that is Jack Harlow at the KAFC Yum Center. Sold out, packed to the rims.
How was it? By the way, Jack Harlow's a rapper.
Yeah, that's what everybody, like, who's Jack Harlow?
He's a Kentucky rapper.
He's from Louisville. It was a good show. Like, the show, and I've told everybody, the show was awesome. Like, the set was awesome. Like, the physical stage, the set, mm-hmm. the screens, the fireworks, all that stuff was awesome.
Pyrotechnics.
I didn't understand shit. And I know almost all Jack Harlow songs.
You do?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Jack Harlow's the number one on my Spotify playlist this year.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, Secret Keeper. I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I brought Jack Harlow to this household.
Oh, my God.
Hat tip to Jason Ellis on that.
Yes, that was an Ellis comment. So you knew the songs?
Yeah.
I had no idea you knew
the songs. I'm listening to them in my headphones, when there's 22,000 people singing along, I had no idea what they were saying. Charlie did. I didn't know shit. I was like, whoa, either I'm out. My ears ain't working.
Okay, your ears don't work.
The bass through my chest. I was like, wow.
It's tingly.
This is not the type of concert. Yeah.
What is, I don't know what it'd be like to I don't know that I've been to a rap concert.
That, and I was comparing it to going to see, the last concert I'd been to was Tyler Childers. And it was perfection as far as the sound goes.
Yeah.
You understand it? Like, it was perfection in the same size arena.
And everything sounded
on par. Now, Sturgill Simpson, not quite. It was Jack Harlow was more like Sturgill Simpson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know a song, but it didn't sound right. And that's,
it was a whole different vibe.
So, but yeah, it was fun. We did that.
He let Charlie wear. So I'm not there. They drove separately. We had Christmas, and then I hung around my parents and let him and Charlie come home and get ready together. And honestly, that was a good choice on my part, just because I don't want that stress.
You don't want that smoke.
Yeah. So I get a text. I'm like, hey, did you find something to wear? Yeah, I'm just going to wear your Coors Light t-shirt. Your what? Mind you, this is a shirt I had.
It's old.
It's 19 years old. Like, yeah. I wore it to a concert. Where's the state fair concerts held at?
At Freedom Hall.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That's where. So I just, it's been in a bin. She's kind of been pilfering through things. She comes across it. I've just told her, you cannot wear that in public. Well, mom's not home.
Let me tell you how great of a father I am.
Dad being good time dad.
It wasn't even that. I didn't even care. And it really cemented that it didn't matter once we got there.
Yeah.
Because I saw more adolescent cleavage and shit that made me uncomfortable.
So she was modestly dressed.
Oh, yeah.
Dressed.
She was. She was an Eskimo compared to these people.
I was like, well, just when you take pictures.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm like, I know, but it just, it we talk about look the best.
About $75 hoodies.
God, I can't believe you bought one. You're such a sucker, man.
To be fair, I said, this is part of a Christmas present. I said, you can buy a piece of merch on me. You know, she brought her own money.
I would have been like, get a poster.
So, I don't even know if they had posters. They might have. Anyway, so everybody's rushing to the bar when we get in. We get in fairly early. We go to the merch booth. She picks it out. There's no prices, so it doesn't say like this is that much.
Oh, see.
So they bring it up, hand it to her. So now it's in her possession.
Mm-hmm.
$75. Mm-hmm. Had a $100 bill in my pocket. Go to hand it to them. And they look at me like I'm stupid. And I can tell there's like communication ain't. And they're like, oh, this is cashless. I was like, oh, okay. Like the whole arena is cashless.
Like, are we talking Venmo?
No, I use my card.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't take cold hard cash. Dineros. And so I will say that the Yum Center has a plethora of bathrooms, though. That was the best part. It's like when I had to piss, I was like, okay.
That is not how Winona was.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that on here?
Yeah.
Did I pee in the men's room?
Yeah.
Started a movement.
Yeah, there were not a lot of dudes going to see the Judds.
Well, I think.
Finale tour. But I saw Winona's going to be with Tyler Childers on his tour.
Yeah.
For a couple dates.
Yeah. He's not coming anywhere near here.
No. Sons of bitches.
Oh, wait. He's like, maybe Cleveland, Ohio, or something like that, which that's
on. It was Cleveland, like Charlotte, both 6 hours away.
Right. Yeah, so she got. So giving her that, and so she went to that before Christmas even happened.
Yeah, way before Christmas.
And she was getting a Letterman jacket, and we kind of tried to play it off that, like, that wasn't coming in, and try, because I just wanted her to have some surprise to it. It was killing me. But I end up, like, wrapping all these little, like, tchotchke gifts that we got her at Five Below and stuff separately to wear.
And I love that store. If y'all ain't shopping at Five Below.
What is about it that you do? But you do love
some. You love it, too.
I do, but not the Gary Thomas extent. Like, there's just something about you that just loves a good Five Below store.
And I don't even buy that much there. I don't buy anything for me there.
It was way too overwhelming for me, though.
Oh, yeah, it was packed when we were in there. Couldn't. Listen, we went on a great shopping trip. Like, maybe the best shopping trip we've ever been on. We went to Costco first.
Yes.
And
had dinner at Costco.
Yeah, because
delicious.
Like, a good restaurant meal is lost on me right now.
Yeah.
And I know it won't always be that way, but for now, like, I would rather avoid going to restaurants.
Yes.
And I traveled a lot this year, and that was my most uncomfortable was like people wanting to take you out to eat and mm-hmm. go eat. So
we've managed a couple of trips to the Mexican restaurant and you've done okay, but it's just not, I don't know if
it's my brain. It's not my,
but I can tell there's like a discomfort, anxiety or something, like you're ready to like go. It's not like and you're not being rude necessarily. It's just this like.
Listen, the longer I stay, the more chances are I'm going to eat more. And that.
Then you're going to puke.
Then I'm going to puke.
Yeah. And I know that's kind of that would give me anxiety. So.
I did my. Like, that's something I brought up in my 3-month post-op visit with my physician. I was like, hey, listen. I don't really know how to eat, you know? Like, I know the steps and what I can eat, what I can't eat, but like finding that fine line in what's one bite too much mm-hmm. is all trial and error.
Sure.
And it differs with every food. So the first disheartening experience, which is not disheartening, but it's something that you have to come to grips with, was McDonald's French fries.
Yes.
I got a small fry. And so good. But, I mean, instant. I don't know if it was the grease or what. Instant, just rebuttal from my innards. So that got me. One more, and it was a breakfast burrito from. But I've learned how to eat these things, you know.
Slowly.
Very slowly.
So, bringing this up, I'm going through this process of really trying to pursue some weight loss medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And full transparency, like, I want the semi-glutide shit. I want it. And, you know, I know the other things to do, but just talking to other friends that have been on it, it's confirming a lot of what I know and think about weight loss in general, especially at my age. So the whole Dog and Pony Show is this prior authorization. And
the wonders of our healthcare system.
It is, you know, I am now talk about like caring about something once it matters. Like, once I finally started dealing with it personally, I was like, well, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
This all sucks. So anyway, I found this kind of, not this loophole, but I found this other door that might work. And
mm-hmm. through our healthcare plan,
I need to call, like, I call this nurse and I talk to her and I kind of get on this like monthly. It's so stupid and uncomfortable. And it also shows you how little the general medical field thinks of or understands weight loss, right? Like, it's all calories in, calories out, and just exercise. And I think at one point she told me to just tighten up. I was like,
what? Who, your doctor?
This nurse. Oh. Like, she kind of like, they give you these tips and advice.
This was when you were talking to.
Yes. Okay. And so it was just something I was like, yeah. Been trying that process for a while. But anyway, so she was like, they have to ask you like, what are some barriers and stuff? And I'm like, you know, right now, because they're asking about like the nutrition and stuff and the meals in your home. And I'm like, well, we've got like my husband who just had weight loss surgery mm-hmm. and it's a crapshoot if he's going to eat. I've got my autistic kid who's going to eat on rotation pizza, grilled cheese, sometimes both, sometimes a whole ass pizza like he did tonight. Or chicken nuggets. And then my daughter, who it's, you know, her preference is that we're eating Mexican every night or Chick-fil-A. So I was like, it's just prepping and planning. She's like, you know, maybe if you could get like, you know, the kids do their thing and like you get on the same plane as your husband. I was like, ma'am, puking.
Yeah.
Eating, authing and puking. Yep. That's the plane I need. It's just, it just confirmed really this idea that there are people out there that just don't like, there are doctors and specialists who understand it. And then others who just have that very generic old school, I don't know, just count your calories and get some exercise.
Which is true, but
it's
that you
very
can't,
true.
But that's, if it was that easy,
yeah,
you know,
I hear
and,
you.
And it's not, yeah, but I will say this.
It's simple. It's that simple. It's not that easy. If that
I don't
sense.
Know what people do without insurance. Or that have bad insurance.
Yeah.
I don't. Because, I just looked it up. So, pulling back the curtain on the Thomas family. This year, now granted, I had weight loss surgery. So, with Harlan's autism diagnosis, he's in ABA. We've established that. He goes there 8 hours a day.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. That is a considerable expense towards our insurance that they pay. This year, our insurance has been billed $250,000. And we have felt very little financial responsibility out of that. Mm-hmm. Now, we have had responsibility.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, it wasn't anything crazy, like to the tune of like $5,000.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I can think of a lot of things to do with $5,000.
Right.
But considering it, and that $5,000 covered dentist. And
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
I was going to say there's a kid braces.
Yeah,
I've had
doctor visits, you know, regular checkups and just, you know, but like what do people, and I couldn't imagine, like I will never, for even the crazy hoops you got to jump through. Like I'm ride or die Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I even had a conversation with my HR. I was like, can they drop me? They're like, no, they can't. I was like, I'm just making sure because this, it feels like a lot.
I will say for the purposes of just autism alone, it has been so far so good. I mean, I think there's other.
Yeah, you will not hear me.
There's some other components of it that we need to explore because I think we're not using it to its fullest benefit. But,
oh, yeah.
We're getting there. We're trying to get involved with some other folks just to kind of explore the process of.
You want to talk about how relieved I am that somebody else took up the banner of this like inclusive group and
yeah.
that doesn't have to be me now?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I've told the story of how I opened my mouth and there I was having a conversation about starting my own support group meeting and I'm the last one you want.
You're good to participate.
I'm a good social lubricant. Mm-hmm. Like I can get people, but if you're looking for me to one organize or I don't know, I'm just not that guy.
It's something that I want, but that's not the angle. Like I want to be a part of that, but there's more to it that I want to get out of this. Charlie and I are talking about some things that she can do. She's wanting to kind of get involved in that and going at it from a different angle. So just to get, you know, the conversation going, it is wild to me that this many that 1 in 40-something kids are diagnosed with autism, and we literally still have people that are completely just in the dark about what it looks like, what it is like. Teachers, educators, myself, you know, what I know and understand is very limited prior to having Harlan and understanding it. So I'm really excited about the opportunity. So we are in an inclusion group. We have a meeting coming up in January and getting more people involved in that.
Taking bets on how long it will take for me to get kicked out or asked not to come back. I'm getting better.
You are.
I've had to grow up this year. I've got to go out and speak in front of like professionals, not just peers. And I've talked about this in therapy, how for me, you just have to crack the door open to that you think I'm funny. And I'm going to kick it in.
Yeah.
And so I always lead my talks with a joke because, one, I heard Tom Segura talking about this. Once he had social anxiety, and once he heard a laugh, he's golden.
Yeah.
He's comfortable. But it was that awkwardness to get up there. So, like, even in my introductions to my name and where I'm from, usually has to come with a joke. So, but once I see a smile and a laugh, listen, the next hour is going to be cake.
I don't know. Yeah. You do enjoy an audience. It's interesting. And you can enjoy an audience with adults. I don't do so well with adults. I don't know. Maybe that's my perception of that. I'm not as comfortable around adults, but I can talk to kids, I think, a little easier. But I'm not like going to be that, like, hey, kids, I'm the cool guy. Like, I'm not like that. Like, I just want to be with anybody. My goal is just to be pretty realistic and, like, let's talk about the real thing. I don't want to spend time chit-chatting about the things you're supposed to do. Like, that's why I'm really bad in formal meetings. Horrible. Meetings where, like, there's process and procedures you have to follow. So I hated when I was on site-based. Like, you have to be, like, all in favor. Like, you had to wait your turn to say... No,
very procedural.
I hate procedural things. I'm so bad at those. I just want to be very informal, casual, but very realistic. Like, I don't do good with surface level conversations. I want to talk about the really deep, dark things.
I am very great at small talk.
Yeah. I could not do like this stuff that you're doing and going places and having dinner with complete strangers. That would have me breathing in a bath. I would just go to the bathroom and hide.
To be fair, I've been very lucky to have people that I do know, like my main man, Bobby, been out there with me on the road this year. And that, having those connections, just having them one in a group of strangers, whether that maybe they know him and don't know me, or I know them and they don't know him, like it's a very, it was very comforting. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciated that. But I also, there's a part of me that was like, okay, this is my chance to create me, right? I've been doing this job for 23 years now. And this is the culmination of the last decade and a half of what I've really been interested in as far as work goes. How do I parlay that into being at the forefront of whatever? Mm-hmm. And what I found was everybody loves to talk about what they're great at and their successes. And I love to talk about failing. One, I can make it funny. Mm-hmm. I found out it's probably not great to name drop people that have failed with you. They don't appreciate that too much.
While they're in the room. Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
They took it like champs, though. It's all a learning experience for me. Like, nobody gave me a handbook. Like, back in May, they're like, hey, will you come speak? I was like, yeah.
And there is the difference between us right there. No hesitation, full confidence. Of course I can't meet. I just don't know if I have anything to say.
Oh, listen. I got a tight 10. I can stretch into an hour.
Oh, my God.
But, like, all right. let's be honest, people. What's the? I need y'all's best traveling hacks because I suck at it. I suck at it. The first trip I got to drive, so it was fine. I need a travel agent. I need somebody with some experience because my first cross country flight going to California, I end up with a 5.5 hour layover in Colorado, where my belt broke. It was awful. And then on the way back, it was just as bad, just crossing through the time zones. So then, like, I don't know, because when you drive, you usually take a travel day. So you stay an extra day and you wake up and you leave, whatever. When you're flying, that gives you like a whole extra day to do nothing, basically, yeah. Which has been great because I've got to hang out with the people that have stayed and do that. But there's a part of when you see people leaving at noon on the last day of the event, they're catching their flight and going home, yeah, or whatever. Man, I'd like to be home tonight.
Yeah.
You know, because let's be honest, you know, the 4-day trips, I love every minute of it until it's over. And when it's over, in my brain, it's over. It's time to go home. And my travel companion is the same way. Like, we're sitting there, there's still like 3 speakers left, and we're like looking at how we can change our flight to leave that evening. You know, so people are giving us tips like, oh, you need to like only book one way, and then when you get to wherever you're going, look at the flights that are coming back and figure it out that way, and it makes it a little cheaper, whatever. So that's one of my New Year's resolutions, is to become a better traveler.
The issue is maybe break down paying for
TSA pre-check.
What's wild to me is that you, in like a corporate world, corporate setting, these conferences are all during the week. Whereas I can't tell you how many, I mean, think about it. How many let's just say day-long sessions I've gone to, day things. When have they been?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah. Because
because
working.
You're working. Whereas I'm working as well.
You have kids. You know what I'm saying? And they're not giving you that luxury to step away from that. Whereas,
because nobody wants to pay for the sub and pay for you to go off. And so it's... So it's, you know, keeping in mind when you're doing these trips, you're doing these weeks, you're leaving on a Monday, coming home on a Thursday or Tuesday to a Friday, and I'm pulling week duty when we've got, you know, a kid who literally is juggling three different activities right now, and another one who just generally, once he's home and his pants are off, he doesn't want to get back.
He does come home and get them pants off, and
he's done for the day. It's so different to me in my brain. Or if we do have big conferences, they happen in the summer.
Yeah.
It's such a different world comparing the two.
Just know though, and I'll tie this into what happened in California. And this is what I tell everybody. It's like, oh, you don't, you know, you got time to do whatever. Listen, it's not what I do. It's what I'm prepared to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great mantra until your phone's ringing at 4:30 local time a.m. in California when you've been in bed for 2 hours. And, you know, it's 8 o'clock, you know.
I love it.
At home. And they're like, hey, man, we need your help. I'm like, man, I'm going to come. Like, yeah, but you're the only. I'm like, oh. And the phone's like, hey, you coming to breakfast? Man, I'm working, all right? I'll be there in a minute. Like,
I love that stress for you. You have no idea how much I love that
for
you.
But I thrive in that. Like, that's where...
Yeah, but you don't have it chronically.
No.
Like, that is so incremental for you that if you lived in chronic stress, lots of conversations happening now about, like, in teaching that slog through from Thanksgiving to December, and just this, like, how stressed you are trying to get there, that when you finally get on break, like, a lot of educators get sick because you've been pushing so hard and getting things, and you know, you've got a lot of female educators, moms, and the division of labor is to where they are taking care of families on top of, and the holiday time is, you know, we're doing dress up days at school.
Yeah, who thought that was a good idea?
I have no idea.
It's pajama day Thursday.
And it's parties and gift exchanges and cookies. And don't forget to bring this in.
Secret
and
we're Santa.
We're going to host an angel tree, which is great. And I love it. But it's just one extra, like the amount of tasks that are going on during that time that you push so hard. And time is here. And I've got these days off, but I don't because, you know, I've got a stack of papers I've got to grade. I've got, you know, this whole concept of like, let's just quiet quit and only work our hours, our contract hours. Like, I can't. What? It is impossible. But I mean, if your job does have that like momentary stressor,
yeah,
where it's like, you know, there was a day last week or 2 weeks ago where like you came home and it was like from 3:30 on, your phone was just like bananas. And I could tell like it was stressing you out. And I was like, because you were having to like navigate multiple conversations at once. I'm like, bitch, that's my second period. Like that, my phone is ringing. Two kids need something. I think a kid's crying in the corner. You know,
but I thrive.
Two emails have come through changing the schedule for the day. And while you do like that, I could see you getting like frustrated. And like you were like, Harlan's wanting something. You were like, Harlan, not right now. And I was just watching you like, oh, it's so precious. Yeah. But that is like every single day, every single hour, constant. But I like seeing, witnessing under the stress. Pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need that in your life.
Listen, we've got a way to help you relieve some pressure. And there's a whole conversation wrapped around this. But if you made it 50 minutes into this podcast, I got a deal for you. Abby has just embarked on her journey with Factor Meals.
Not that I went out seeking it or searching it.
Abby has problems, theoretical or whatnot, and my job is to find solutions.
No. It is not your job to find solutions. You choose to find solutions. I did not come to you like, help me, Obi-Wan. I need
you're my only hope.
My only hope.
So she said, you know, she likes to meal prep and then she's short on time. And then there's the whole shopping aspect and then there's the cleanup and all that.
I said, so it started with me. I'm in a really shit mood about my weight. I'm in a shit mood about my health. I'll go there. Weight being a component of that health. Having the time, I know the right things to do. I even did something completely outside my comfort zone and did a macro check publicly online where a bazillion people can see that and they see your starting weight. That is terrifying to me. Because, you know, I could say, let's go into calorie deficit. I don't know what that really looks like for me. The time to get to the gym, I know it makes me feel better, but I can't always do it. Because every single day I have to choose, am I going to sleep? Because I'm also wanting shit. You also have to get 8 hours sleep, guys. Like, there's all this stuff. So it's I was having this kind of, yes, I was having my little Jesse Spano moment. And Gary.
And I put on my Superman cape. And I said, listen, we can fix, there's ways to fix this.
He was like, I'm buying you Factor Meals. I was like, what? Like, that was his instant quick fix of that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm not shitting on that. It's just that you were very much like,
I'm a realist. So if that's an issue that can, one, save you time, save you aggravation and stress, and take that thinking out of the equation, what's bad? So we order our first 10 meals from Factor, and you didn't really care for the pasta tonight.
It was okay. It wasn't
as good as the other ones.
It was a pork based meat. I don't know that I've ever had a pork based meat pasta. It's always been like beef or seafood. So that was just different. I didn't hate it.
So again, what I found out is we can offer you guys like 50% off your first order.
And that's worth it.
Yeah. So completely transparent, mm-hmm. 10 meals off the jump, $60. So $6 a meal. When you renew, it's like $103 for 10 meals. There's no pressure. If you don't, you can skip weeks, you can cancel, whatever. So
it was a really weird time for us to start it too. Gary's like, they'll be here next. They didn't show up until I was on break.
Yeah.
And I'm not one. I'm a really bad eater on a break. Like when I have dates, like I just won't eat up until I get like starved hungry.
Yeah. So for instance, just a little selection of what you got going on this upcoming schedule. Abby has Herb crusted chicken.
Do you say that on purpose?
Yeah, I did.
It drives me crazy when you do that. You did it the other night.
She has, which I think you really enjoyed, the shredded chicken taco bowl.
Yes, add an avocado and your macros are like muy bien on that one.
Black pepper and sage pork chop. And these all come with like sides that are
been green beans, lots of broccoli, but you know what I didn't have to do? I didn't have to make the broccoli. And it tastes good.
Yeah. She's getting Southwest chicken mac and cheese, jalapeno lime cheddar, and she's getting a burger with mushroom and cream sauce. And our total for this is the first full price meal. There's a bunch of add-ons too. You can do breakfasts and beverages and a keto dessert. And I mean, basically, if you don't want to go to the grocery store.
I've got a solid 400-calorie breakfast that will get you 50 grams of protein in your day right now.
So that our total was $103. And for you today, I can get you $40 off your first order. So like I said, $60 for the first go around. We're going to put the code in the show notes. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. But that brings us to our next segue. Because food's like top of conversation about everywhere, right?
Hang on, back to this. Do you just have to click on something?
Just click it.
Okay.
Order it, make an account.
There's no code or anything?
Yeah, there's just a link. There's no code, yeah. Just a link.
So link in through our podcast.
Yeah. At work, our days usually, what are we going to have for lunch? Or, you know, mm-hmm. What are we eating? Yeah, 2022, there was this is an in memoriam for the foods that we can no longer get. Now, there's only a couple here that I really care about. The rest, to be honest, I didn't know about. But in no specific order.
We've lost these foods.
We've lost these foods. Maybe forever, maybe not. Who's to say? Number one, Honest Tea. First of all, I didn't know what it was. Coca-Cola put it out. I don't know if it was like to supposed to be a competitor to Arizona or Lipton. I don't know.
I drank Arizona teas back in the day.
But Coca-Cola bought in 2008. They shut her down. So say goodbye to Honest Tea.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's missing it.
No. Next, I'm going to go with Chili's. Not a big Chili's guy. We don't have one even close to us, but their chicken tenders are off the menu.
Guys, who takes a chicken tender off the menu? Like, what is going on that you're like, you know what? We're going to pull the chicken tenders. That's an Applebee's move right there.
They've replaced them with crispy chicken crispers that are similar.
Oh, well, shit. It's the same thing. But offer a
crunchier
thing.
And juicier bite.
Oh, yeah. Hell. They didn't. That's a stupid one. They just wanted five things to round out that whatever article.
Burger King's Ch-King, which was their
Ch-King.
Their fried chicken sandwich, which they have chicken sandwiches.
But this is the fried chicken sandwich?
And they said it was just too, I don't know. They replaced it with the Royal Crispy Chicken. To be fair, this looks like a huge
sandwich.
This
doesn't sound like immemorial. Like people are just getting replaced.
Okay, well, let's go to the two that hit home. One, I used to love these, the Choco Taco. We were at, so first of all, you could buy them at the Taco Bell, which was in the gas station originally in Moorhead, right across from the hospital near the middle school at the time. Middle school's not even there now. But so we were going on a trip with Abby's Aunt Kathy. And we went through Taco Bell, and I said, give me a Choco Taco. And they acted like they never even heard of it, which Kathy thought I was fucking with her, but I wasn't.
It was real.
So the Choco Taco is gone. Moment of silence for the Choco Taco. to be fair, once you got about halfway through it, it started to fall apart. It was a mess.
That's when you know you
got. And then this was a seasonal thing. Then it came back on the full menu, but it's gone. The McRib.
It's gone, gone?
They say it's gone, gone.
Oh, hell, it's not. I don't believe it.
They say it's gone, gone.
Somehow my brother got, like, associated with McRib, and I honestly don't even know how. Like, just excitement or joy for the McRib. And it's just been this longstanding joke about Dustin and the McRib. But I honestly can't think of the McRib without thinking of him. It's like it's forever.
McRib's awful sandwich.
Never had it.
It's awful. My dad used to love the McRib. And last but not least, Abby can tell the story of how disturbing it was when our five-year-old could not get his Wendy's Vanilla Frosty.
First off, that shithead had never eaten a vanilla anything. To the extent that I couldn't even understand what he was saying when I pull up to Wendy's and I'm like, hey, I think I'm being fun, Mom. It was one of the nights that you were gone, I think.
I was home.
No, you were home on this one?
Yeah.
That I was doing like a, no, I don't think you weren't. Where I was doing like a cross country, like, you may have been on your way home. Like, get charter practice, go get Harlan something, kill time to get back out. So I was like, I will make this a fun night. And we'll go get little Frosty, Junior Frosties, and drive and look at
did
lights.
Did you buy the thing?
No. Mom gave, he in his Halloween thing card from her, she gives him free Frosty coupons.
Yeah, I got the Frosty.
So anyway, I'm like, okay, Harlan, they've got peppermint, chocolate, vanilla Frosties. I'm going to get peppermint. Do you want chocolate? And he's saying, vanilla. And I'm like, what? I couldn't even understand. Kid wanted a vanilla Frosty. Okay. I'm like, we don't have vanilla. I'm like, all right, give me chocolate. Well, he lost his mind screaming, lost his mind because he did not want chocolate. And I know, like, I should just be like, oh, sucks to be you. But like, was just a hot mess in the back seat. So I'm like, and he was demanding ice cream. I'm like, well, McDonald's has it. No, could not settle for that. Wanted vanilla.
Yeah, but did they really have it?
Yeah, that's the other
the
thing.
Crap
that was the other thing. Is like, I was
apparently
like,
the ice cream machines at McDonald's are incredibly expensive to fix.
Obviously. So cut to my dumbass driving across town at this point to Dairy Queen to get him a small vanilla cup of ice cream. And I'm texting like, hey, did you know they no longer have vanilla Frosties? Like, I needed a little bit more heads up, Wendy's. Like, on that menu, be more clear. There is no longer a vanilla Frosty at all. But we made it through. We survived that one. There's some other component to that night that was just like he was a disaster of a human. But learn that lesson.
It's tragic.
It is. It's been a roller coaster with him.
Yeah.
This month.
He's going back to school next week.
Yeah.
Say throw up a little prayer for not for him, for his teachers.
It's gonna be a lot.
To be fair, he's still gonna be at his clinic half a day and then half a day at preschool.
So we have these days, like, and so we went to go visit the school, and he did great. You know, he did a really good
taking
job.
A college visit.
It, you know, like he walked and stuff. Like, because in my head, it's the Harlan we have at home that's just feral and wild. And
turns out he's a pretty solid kid outside of the house.
Allegedly, which maybe all kids are like this. I don't know, but it added to this. You know, and I think the holidays may be a hard time for anybody because schedules are off and there's this expectation, I think, of like what it's supposed to be like. You know, he woke up Christmas morning, like we didn't even know if he would even know Santa. Like we talk about it. He tells Santa what he wants, but he can be so, whereas there are kids that are like losing their mind excited for some things, he can also, his excitement. For instance, you know, my parents got him an iPad, which we learned is we have to monitor this, right? But my dad's like, why didn't he lose his mind like Charlie and Braxton did? Because like 3 or 4 years ago, they got them an iPad. And those two went apeshit. Like jumping, screaming, shouting. Harlan's like, oh, hey, an iPad.
On to the next.
But then definitely, trust me when I tell you, he loves the freaking iPad.
Yeah.
Like, he adores it. But there's no... that emotional reaction, if you're wanting to get that from your autistic kid, you may not get it. Yeah. You may get that he loves it so much, he's going to ignore it completely. Like, we've got that reaction.
Yeah.
There are certain toys that he gets he's so excited
that he has to come to naturally on his own. Yeah. Like, when you present it to him, it's like for instance, he at Halloween, just after Halloween, we got the Amazon wishlist book. Mm-hmm. He obsessed over the new Echo show, which is just a tiny little 6-inch screen. That means that it's an Alexa, but it, like, tonight he was listening to a book on it, you know, but it came with like a Mickey Mouse cover. Yeah. That's all he said he wanted for months until like a week before Christmas. And he's like, I want Baby Einstein DVDs.
Yeah.
And Tootles. So Abby makes the Tootles. We order some used Baby Einstein DVDs off of eBay. But we have the Echo Show. So he loves the Echo Show. He's talking. We're playing with it. It has a drop-in feature where it's like FaceTime.
Yeah.
I can just drop into the room, say hi, whatever.
Which he generally loves FaceTime.
And he hates that shit.
He runs away.
It's not his jam.
So it is every single day. Like, we had this beautiful day before it was the week before Christmas. And he was sitting in my lap, and he was legitimately helping me. Like, he was thinking of other people.
Yeah.
He was putting tags on for other people. He was signing their names. It was such a big moment for him, just in his focus, attention, empathy for others, understanding that we were gift giving, wanting to put tags on them, completing a process. I was crying because it was just something that
was sweet.
It was sweet and it was normal.
Yeah, you got that emotional connection that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was just like loving on me, sitting in my lap. Like, it was everything, right? And you're doing that while also like planning your kids' IEP like meetings and like getting ready for them. And then I'll be damned, the next day we totally mismanaged time over an iPad, and it was a fucking battle.
Yeah, it was a
like to the point that like we're driving separate to Christmas. There's like, I've not had a shower, like the whole magical moment of waking up and going to hang out with family gets overshadowed by, I mean, it was a battle.
Yeah.
A fight to get him out the door, to get him to agree. Like, he was refusing to leave, and like, I have to send Gary and Charlie on. And, you know, when he's at that intense, Gary and I are not at our best.
No.
And his impatience will come out. And then just my stance is like, I'll just do it myself. My like super independence, go away, I've got this, comes out. And I know that's not like the best approach and strategy, but it's my defense mechanism, my coping mechanism for it. And then you've got Charlie, who's like, I'm just really excited to go to Christmas, but this is really shitty. Like, it's Christmas, it's her concert day, but it's getting overshadowed by this like screaming, fit throwing, super aggressive 5-year-old, and you're like, all right, well, this sucks. And so it has been that back and forth, up and down. You know, we get these really sweet moments of like random, I love you, mommy, everything's sweet, to like gift rejection and not really even understanding it's Christmas. So,
or tonight he wanted to put us all to bed early.
Yeah.
Telling us, he literally threw covers on me and Abby and said, sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
What are you going to do, bro? You just going to sit here and watch TV the rest of the night.
And then we get to sit and wait and decide, like, will he wake up at 4 o'clock tomorrow? Or will he want to sleep until 7?
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
And which one of us is going to get up? It's my turn, I think. For this one. Gary sucked it up into Jurassic Park at 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. But Abby's like, I'll be there in a minute. And I was like, I'm up. I'll just go. But it's all good. It's all good. So
we're learning. We are learning.
Here's what you can expect from this duo in the new year.
We're a duo?
Yeah. That means two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a weird.
From this team.
Team Thomas.
Team Thomas. We're going to do a weekly podcast, Come Hell or High Water. And if we don't, Abby's going to do 100 push-ups, topless.
Wait.
To be filmed.
You got to do something.
I just made the rules.
How about squats?
Oh, you talking to the person, one of us that can actually do a squat?
I can do a squat.
Yeah. Knock me out 5 real quick.
Shut up.
She's jealous of my.
Knee bending? Yes. Yeah. Congratulations. You can bend your knees after 40 years old. Proud of you.
So we're going to do that. We're going to bring our friends on to talk about whatever. We're going to have a.
We're going to get a mission, a focus.
That's right. We're going to take his shit, as they say. We got a new podcast table. I'm looking at it. It's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about doing a little video. Abby's like, I had to fix my hair.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that one. I don't exactly get presentable for these things right now.
I have all this motivation. I'm telling David the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he's lost on him. Kind of like how it is on you.
What do you mean? It's not lost on me.
Well, it doesn't. We don't match.
What do you mean?
Like, I want some excitement. I want some jumping jacks. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm the one who created the podcast table, and I added the fucking fancy lights in the background.
You took a strand of Christmas lights.
I cleaned up this area. I acts of service, sir. Acts of service. Oh, yeah. And
we have a treadmill down here now. We have a, which this worked out perfect. Charlie got a stage for Christmas 13 years ago, and when Abby picked it up and flipped it over, it really turned into a good shelf. Like, it's a shelf. Shout out Chase Armstrong for this strong build.
The Chase Armstrong original.
So, yeah. We have a TikTok that you can subscribe to or follow. We have a Instagram, Close Enough Pod, I think, on all things.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. So, shout out to everybody that listens in our app. Like, it's been over a month since we've posted. Like, since September, we've only posted 4 podcasts. So we're here to tell you we'll do better, because people still keep listening. Companies still keep sending shit to want to peddle, and Abby won't do it.
Oh, my God. That's not true.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me read a quick ad here that I get in my email.
No.
Okay. But we hope everybody has a great new year. Ring it in. Set your goals.
Find your word, your focus.
Yeah. Be safe. And we will be back next year. So take care. I love you.
I love you.
Everybody be safe. Toodaloo.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Close Enough.
Leave us a like on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Close Enough Pod.
Consider giving us a share and review on whatever platform you found us on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.